with that, we will call this April 3rd, 2019, South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Director Austin?
Here.
Vice Chair Karen Ray Rissom?
Here.
Chair Jeff Lee?
I am here as well. So that is a quorum. We will go ahead and please all rise. And Mr. Gent, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for that, sir. With that, we will go to agenda review first, and realizing the recipient of 6A is not here in the
She's
perfect. Okay, cool. Then does anyone have any questions or concerns or want to make a change to the agenda?
No, it's fine.
Very good. Then we will, under consensus, we will proceed with the agenda as published, which brings us to public comments for items not appearing on the agenda. This is a period where members of the community can present thoughts or suggestions on matters not scheduled on the agenda. Please limit those comments to 3 minutes. And is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak under public comment? Very good. No public comment at this time. Great. Then that'll bring us back to our consent agenda. So where we have three items tonight, which is approval of warrants, approval of meeting minutes, and request approval to purchase a new a replacement front loader. Anybody have any questions on those items?
No.
Okay. Very good. I actually do have one on item 5C, and it has to do with the front loader. There, in the proposal, it said 7.25% sales tax, and so district administrator and I were talking prior to the meeting of that Santa Maria's tax structure is 8.25, we believe. So no concern with the item itself. I would just like to give the district some leeway if tax is different than what was on the original on the original proposal. So when we get under discussion, I'll take that under discussion. And then is there any member of the public that would like to speak on the consent agenda?
Good evening. I'm Julie Packer, and I'm going to speak to your warrant register and the item for Bartle Wells and Associates, the $3,185. Seems to be well within the contract allowed. What I'm curious about is when, because we don't have an administrator's report, I thought maybe we'd get an update on the rate study that Bartle Wells has been working on, and I'm very interested in what is the funding source that for the redundancy project that Bartle Wells is trying to work into your rate. So hoping to get an update on that portion of the project. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. Is there anyone else who wants to speak on public comments? So seeing no one else come forward, I'll go ahead and ask the district administrator if he would like to respond to that now or as part of the redundancy project discussion.
I'll go ahead and respond now to the Bartle Wells question in general. So this past Friday, we did receive an initial draft of the updated study. I did have comments on it along with Mr. Nunley's group. And so we've returned those comments to Bartle Wells, and we expect to have a submittal back next week, and we'll bring that full rate study forward. I can announce at this point that there's no evidence that we need to do a rate increase to proceed with funding the redundancy project at the $27.9 million. And so that's good news. But some of the comments were just on graphical representations. And so we'll be bringing that forward at a future meeting for a receive and file to the board.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. Did that generate any questions from the board?
No.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you for that that update. So with that, I'll proceed, bring it back to the board for consideration. Just because I do have a change, I'll go ahead and make the motion to approve the consent agenda with the modification to item 5C increase or decrease the expenditure amount by appropriate sales tax as necessary.
I second that.
Okay. So we do have a motion and a second. Amy, were these all roll call or is this a voice vote? Roll call. Then roll call, please.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Ray Russom?
Yes.
Chair Lee?
Yes. So the consent agenda is approved. So with that, we will move into our items, our action items. First one is item 6A, a tribute to Miss Barbara Nichols. So, Mr. Gent.
Good evening. This is a submittal of a resolution honoring Barbara Nichols for her outstanding service to the ratepayers of South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. It is recommended that the board adopt resolution number 2019-404, commending and thanking Director Barbara Nichols for her contributions to the Sanitation District and its ratepayers. Over the course of many years, Director Barbara Nichols has served on our communities in a variety of capacities. Barbara remains a council member for the City of Grover Beach and has served as both a director and vice chair for the Sanitation District. Barbara could always be counted on to arrive to a meeting with a smile, well-read, and ready to conduct the people's business. And with that, I will turn it over to our chair for the resolution.
Very good. Thank you for that. And I'm happy to read this resolution, whereby a resolution of the Board of Directors of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District honoring Barbara Nichols for her outstanding service to the ratepayers of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. Whereas the Board of Directors wishes to express its appreciation to Barbara Nichols for her years of service resulting in a safe, highly efficient treatment facility and extensive sewer system serving the communities of Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano. Whereas Barbara Nichols, in her tenure as a district director, has served with distinction on the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District Board as an alternate from December 2014 to January 2018, and as the representative from February 2018 through January 2019. So whereas Barbara Nichols has provided her personal time, dedication, and knowledge for the benefit of the district. And whereas the district, under the direction of Barbara Nichols, has accomplished many significant improvements, including the hiring of the district administrator, Digester Number 1 cleaning and repair project, completion of the Cherry Avenue sewer bridge project, installation of a grit removal system, a mechanical bar screen, and a biosolids handling facility. Barbara Nichols acknowledges her knowledge and insight are hereby recognized in leading the district through several critical periods with respect to rates, finances, and administration. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Directors of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District that the district does recognize the accomplishments of Barbara Nichols and extends its deepest thanks and appreciation for her contributions and the manner in which she served the citizens of this district. So with that, thank you very much for that. And so we'd like to present this to you. So we don't have it put into a frame as of yet because of the fact that we have not yet made a motion yet. So, but before we do that, I would like to see if there's any public comment on this item. Seeing no one come forward, I'll bring it back to the board and ask for a motion in a second.
I will make the motion that we approve this as submitted.
I'll second that.
We have a motion in a second. If we can do a roll call, please.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Vice Chair Ray Russom?
Yes.
Chair Lee?
Yes, enthusiastically. So, Barbara, if you'd like to come forward and say a couple words, that would be awesome. So we will get this framed for you and appropriately displayed.
I appreciate this honor very much. It was not an individual effort, as you all know. Ms. Austin was staunch by my side for the last year. The staff has been wonderful to work with. The changes have been great in every respect for the good. I just really appreciate my time with you people, and thank you very much.
Thank you. So, and also we'd be remiss if we didn't recognize Mr. Bill Nichols, so as a former director and chair as well. So thank you both for your service. And Barbara, you get to continue as an alternate.
Yes, thank you.
Very good. So we will proceed on the agenda. We'll make sure that we get this signed and presented to you appropriately. So, okay. Great. So anyone else want to make any comments?
Just thank Barbara very much. Miss you.
If you stay for a few minutes, you can have it and take it home.
Exactly.
We've got everything ready to go. We just have to put it together for you once we sign it.
Should we take a
let's take a 5-minute recess.
Short recess. And
we'll do that right now because it would be great to have a picture as well. So with that, we will recess for 5. Are you guys ready back there? Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. That takes us to item 6B, which is an update on project expenditures for the district's wastewater redundancy project. Mr. Gent.
Yes, good evening. I'm bringing back an item that was requested at the March 6th meeting, which was an update on the financial status and expenditures on the redundancy project. The board members had been seeing a lot of charges come through, being charged to redundancy, and I think it was clear direction was given to come back with a report that could show you the expenses that we've expended to date and the cost of the project moving forward and where we fall within the budget as currently presented at the $27.9 million. And so a lot of the information was outlined in the staff report, but I have prepared a presentation here I'd like to walk through to give an opportunity to ask any questions, and we can take those at the end, or if there's something that doesn't make sense as I'm speaking, please hop in, and I'll try to clarify. So an outline for the item. So I'm going to be running through kind of the background and status of the redundancy project. And then I'll go into the project phases. There's 8 project phases, and I'll explain what those are. I'll talk a little bit about the fiscal year 18-19, the fiscal year that we're in, and what we've spent to date on that. I'll go over the historic expenditures and some future projections out through completion of construction. And then there's a project budget and expenditures, and then I'll end with a schedule and open it up for some questions. So, on as far as the project background, in 2005, it was identified by the Regional Water Quality Control Board that the plant was operating without redundant treatment processes. And what that means is that if we have to shut down a component, we cannot meet our treatment of our effluent to a standard as required by our waste discharge permit. And so some of the equipment has been in continuous operation since 1986 is some of the oldest stuff that's been running continuous. So for 33 years, there's been minimal maintenance because the stuff can't be taken offline, and we have to rely on it to run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year without fail. And to date, it's done so, and we haven't had those type of system failures, but it is a risk that was identified. And so the regional board has pursued the district to implement a project that would address that concern. So the district has contracted to build redundant processes, and there's a couple screens around. I don't know. I guess the board's looking at this one, and I think most of the audience can see this one, so I'll turn around. So currently we have Our process comes through, and if somebody maybe could get the light. Thanks, Amy.
There you go.
This darker area is the redundancy project. That's the new infrastructure that's coming to the facility. Currently, we have 2 primary clarifiers, which are these 2 circles here. So we have redundant primary clarification. So there's no upgrade planned for the primary clarifiers. After the primary clarifiers, the water moves over to this fixed film reactor. And this is our secondary treatment. This is what removes the the biochemical oxygen demand and the total suspended solids in the water, which is the largest basis of our permit requirement, is to reduce the BOD and TSS before we discharge to the ocean. So this secondary process needs to have a redundant treatment component that we could take this offline and do maintenance, or if there was a failure, we could still meet our effluent requirements as required by our waste discharge requirement. If we look to the north here, this rectangle, this is our new aeration basin as designed. And so this aeration basin serves as the same type of reduction in BOD and TSS that the fixed film reactor does. It's not an additional fixed film reactor. It's a different process, but it's more compact, takes up less room on the site than a new fixed film reactor. And then in addition to that, after the fixed film reactor today, we move into our secondary clarifier, which is this circle here directly to the east of the fixed film reactor. And in this secondary clarifier, we do a final settling of any solids in the water to reduce those total suspended solids. And this also is, there's no redundant process. So if this clarifier were to fail, we would not get that settling and we would violate. And so this is a secondary clarifier, very similar in design and capacity. It's just more modern, but nothing really notable different other than our, in comparison to our existing secondary clarifier. The third component that's notable in the redundancy project is this blower building and motor control center. So this is the room that will power the equipment that is necessary, and then the blowers are inside this building because this system requires aeration, so there's compressors that run, and through diffusers under the water, it provides the oxygen that the bacteria and the biology need to treat the waste. So the current status, in March of 2016, we approved a contract with Kennedy Jenks to go into design for the redundancy project. We received 90% designs on December 21st of 2018. Final design to be received on April 11th, 2019. I actually was on a phone call today with David Seymour, the designer. He plans to have those plans to me by Friday of this week, so a little less than a week ahead of schedule. Current design costs right now, $1.64 million. That's the cost that we've expended just in the design phase, and I'll show a little bit more on that in some of the future slides. Total cost to date is $1.84 million, so that includes some of the permitting and some of the financing components that have those work efforts have already been underway. Of course, the permitting is largely complete. Total project, we've talked about this a lot. It's currently budgeted at $27.9 million, and again, based on my phone call with David Seymour at Kennedy Jenks, that number is not expected to change with 100% plans coming in next week. So that is a number that we'll see coming in the final plans. Construction window, we would plan to be in a position to issue a notice to proceed to a contractor by November of this year. And then the construction would be 30 months, taking us through April of 2022, with the project startup in May of 2022. Funding. Previously, the district adopted a rate structure that would fund roughly a $25 million redundancy project. That $25 million limit has been exceeded, and it's now, as we've talked, is $27.9 million. The two primary factors contributed to those cost increase. One was an expanded scope. Predominantly, our existing secondary clarifier had some infrastructure that was not adequately sized to meet the process of the extended aeration of the aeration basins. And so there was a project change request that came back to your board back in October of last year, and it was authorized to make the change, and that accounted for about $2 million of the increase in the project costs at that time. And then the other primary cost is there's been tariffs on steel internationally. That has actually resulted in substantial material cost increases that have been incorporated into the engineer's estimates, and which is a good thing. You know, we've identified them up front, so we shouldn't have surprises moving forward with the project. We do have a rate analysis, as was mentioned earlier, with Bartle Wells and Associates. And one of the reasons I mentioned that there's no indication that we'd have to do a rate increase to fund at the $27.9 million, and that's due to the fact that the district has been able to build cash reserves during this time without building it, because we've started collecting the rates early. The project is delayed, but we've actually built up and saved that money as we've had the higher rates, and so our cash position has improved. And when Bartle Wells takes that into account and does the analysis for our funding, the picture's fine, and we can fund $27.9 million without issue. Funding assumes conventional bond funding. In the past, we had assumed some state revolving fund financing. We weren't competitive with state revolving fund loan, as that loan program has moved to largely be consumed by water recycling projects. And so in the scoring, we did submit an application. Our score came in below the cutoff score for funding through state revolving fund financing. So the analysis is based on conventional bond funding, and that would be at about $14.2 million on bond funding, a $5 million USDA loan, and about $8 million in cash reserves and cash contributions that have already been made to the project, such as the $1.8 million that has been spent to date. We will fund bonds after we receive bid results based on the recommendation and guidance of our financial consultant. We'll get those bid results, and so then you really have a decent number to go out and get your funding on. And so that's kind of a snapshot of where the funding for the redundancy project sits currently. So now moving into project phases. So the project has been broken into eight primary phases, and I'm going to talk about these in a little bit more detail. But the phase one is really permitting the fees and environmental and some utilities. So this phase will last through project, largely through project duration. We do have some utility relocation for PG&E as part of the project upgrade, so that work will be in concurrent with the construction efforts on the redundancy project. Design, we talked about, it was budgeted at $1.7 million. We're currently at $1.64 million. We do expect this phase to close out here in the next couple months, and we expect that to be under budget. Bid support for I'll just run through these real quick, because there are future slides that explain these a little bit in more detail. And then we have phase four, design team services during construction. That would be for the designer to support the construction efforts. Then our construction management component is a large ticket item. That would be our inspection efforts. Project finance and administration. This is the area for Bartle Wells and the contract that we awarded to MKN and Associates at the last meeting to provide administration services. Then construction, obviously the largest item at $21 million. And then startup support, as we turn on the new systems, there will be operational experts on site helping craft standard operating procedures and training staff on the new extended aeration and activated sludge process. And then the district still maintains a $1.7 million contingency, and that's not a project phase, but that's made to infill if there are cost overruns or unknowns that may happen in these other phases. That money could be moved to those efforts. So project phases, just to go through a little bit in more detail. So the phase one, it covers the permits and fees. That was budgeted on, you can see on the last slide, for $330,000 of the total $27.9 million. To date, we've spent about $191,000 in permitting and environmental analysis. And I mentioned already that in a later phase, we'll have some PG&E effort to relocate some power lines on site, and so that effort will be paid for. And there's been $5,000 expended to PG&E just as an upstart money that they charge as a blanket just to even start looking at the project, and so that's been paid out of that portion of the budget. Phase two is design. That's almost entirely Kennedy Jenks charges. There's about $10,000 in charges that aren't Kennedy Jenks, and that's for our SCADA optimization staff that we contract with has provided support to the design, explaining how our current SCADA system works so that it could be incorporated into the design components. Phase three is bid support from the designer, and the bid support is really, during the bid process, there's always questions that come up. A contractor is going to ask, what do you mean by this? And this $60,000 is meant to be set aside to cover design efforts where they have to answer questions during bidding about something in the specifications or in the plan set themselves. We already are under contract with Kennedy Jenks to provide that service for at a contract amount of $56,361. Phase four is design team support during construction. And so during construction, there are needs for inspection, structural inspection, geotechnical inspection, and then there's processing of any type of change orders. That effort has to go back through the designers to keep the design whole. And so anything that's a change during construction, we have this budgeted at $600,000. And we are under contract already from a previously awarded contract for Kennedy Jenks to provide that service at $580,627. Phase five provides the construction management and inspection and an inspector of record services. It's budgeted at $1.7 million. I will point out that, you know, as I go through this, I try to associate what numbers can be tight right now and what numbers are still at estimate levels. This would be a number that I would put in a category that it's difficult for us to know because this is a service that's procured by qualification-based. And it's not a costed proposal. So when we get this back, we do have, you know, some potential for this number to be exceeded if we select our preferred consultant. So that would be an area where if we had a cost overrun, that contingency that we had set aside would be reprogrammed to make up for any shortfall out of that estimated $1.7 million. Phase six, that's the project finance and administration support. As you know, that at the last meeting, we budgeted or we approved a contract for a portion of that effort with MKN. That was at about $107,000, and that was to take us through just the next 12 months of doing this support. But we did indicate that it would likely be that effort would continue at a similar magnitude throughout construction and through project completion. Currently in that phase, and largely that's been Bartle Wells' efforts, the $10,039 of expenditures out of that $500,000 budgeted there. Phase seven, project construction. Designer estimates the construction at $21,010,000. There's been no expenditures in that component as of yet. The only noteworthy component of that is that $21,000, it does include your standard 10% project construction contingency, as all engineers' estimates are required to do so. So there is contingency of things encountered during construction, and so that's separate from the $1.7 million project contingency that is in the construction contingency. And then phase eight is that's for training and startup support. As I mentioned on the earlier slide, this is to create a training program where technical experts come in, work with staff, rotate them through training programs. It's set up where we would have multiple hours of classroom sessions that every operator would have to go through. And then they would provide the effort on crafting standard operating procedures for the new equipment, which are documents that operators use to make sure that if there's any issue with a piece of equipment, they can reference these documents to either reset them or recalibrate them or change the process as it's being controlled. Contingency, in addition to the $26.2 million currently assigned to the phases 1 through 8, there is that $1.7 million set aside that if we were to run into something, we have some room without talking about any other increases or finding money in other ways. We do have some room in the project remaining to account for any cost overruns. Moving on to current fiscal year, 18-19, our approved budget is $1.4 million for redundancy effort total, all phases, phase 1 through 8. We've really only worked on phase 1, 2, and 5 during the fiscal year. These expenses, as of 3/15, the middle of last month, were at $1,012,199. That's what was expended in 18-19. And that leaves us with a remaining budget for 18-19 of $387,000. I don't anticipate spending that. I think we'll close out this fiscal year at about $1.2 million. So we will likely come in under that $1.4 million as currently budgeted. So a little bit larger expansion of the project phases and the past expenditures. So if you see in permits, the project really started spending money and being assigned to redundancy in fiscal year 15-16. And you can see the permitting effort was relatively large, as you would expect up front, along with some design effort, largely to support the permitting effort. And then we moved into design in 17. This is a lot of alternatives analysis, where we're looking at technical memos, what process should we be using. And then we really, in 17-18, kind of got into some substantial design. And then with the bulk of design effort in 18-19, we've spent to date the $980,000, and we kind of anticipate hitting around $1.1 million by the end of the fiscal year in design services for the redundancy project. If you look at these aggregates along the bottom here, if you take the year to date, this number, this number, this number, and this number, that's what adds up to the $1.84 million that I expressed in the kind of the first slide on the project status of what we've spent total project cost to date. If we move forward, looking at fiscal year 19-20, what's the expected expenditure on in 19-20? We will be moving into construction. You can see that starts to become the predominant factor at an estimated $6.3 million in fiscal year 19-20, with an overall budget of what we would be asking for in the upcoming budget process would be $7.2 million. And that will include some of the funding from the bond sale, and the bond money will be available during that fiscal year 19-20. Moving forward, 20 to 21, our largest expenditure at $10.1 million, and then moving into fiscal year 21-22, you see project completion. Some of the startup work happens then, and we would expect to see an estimated $8.6 million in redundancy expenditures through that, and that includes through project completion, so that will complete the project. Just a little more zoomed in to kind of show the to-date expenditures. I said we've only expended money in 1, 2, and 6 to date. So to date on permits, we've spent about $192,000. Again, $1.64 million for design and $10,000 for largely financing component of the administration services. Just a table project schedule. So as I mentioned, project design completion, April, of which is this month, plans will be coming in. Development of permitting and funding requirements. So we'll be finalizing our funding, going out for bond sale in June. And with that effort our sale would occur in the next fiscal, in the 1920 fiscal year. And then June through October will be our bid window, so that's when the project will be bidding. And then with construction, a notice to proceed being issued, anticipated in November. And then, as I said earlier, March of 2022, a 30-month construction window for completion of the project. And that takes me through my financial explanation of the current status of the redundancy project, and I'm happy to answer any questions that I can.
Thank you for that presentation. So any questions from the board?
Yes.
Ms. Ray Russell.
Thank you very much for that report. It was really good, and I got most of my questions answered from the report itself, the written report. I just have I need a clarification of something I thought I heard you say during the presentation, which I'm not sure. Did you say for the construction phase, did I hear you say that there's a contingency built into the $21 million in addition to the contingency that's the $1.7 at the end?
Correct, okay. Yes. So as standard engineering preparing bid estimates, a construction project would have, as you estimate everything through, at the end you would add a 10% project contingency as a standard practice. And my point I was trying to make is there's a project level contingency because of these other unknowns that aren't really assigned to construction efforts outside of construction that might change in their magnitude or work effort. But then even during construction, all construction is susceptible to project cost overruns. And so good estimating includes a project contingency. And so I just didn't want anyone to confuse the $1.7 million. So there is a $2.1 million contingency inside the construction portion of the budget as well.
Thank you. And on that same note, when was the last time we had that construction estimate run?
That was submitted with the December 21st, 2018, 90% design submittal included a full updated engineer's estimate. And so that's relatively current, and they'll be making that submittal with this submittal on Friday of this week is what I'm being told now, but certainly by the 11th will be an even more current update on that project. But I did talk with the designer today, and he said that number is there's nothing has changed on that 21.01.
Excellent. Thank you very much. That's my questions.
Very good. Any questions to my left?
Yeah. First off, I want to thank you very much. This is an excellent report, and it really answered a lot of questions and gives us a lot of background into what's going on, so I really appreciate it. And I'm trying to figure this out. It says here in your discussion, the district has spent 1.8. The district has budgeted 1.4 and spent 112. I think you kind of answered. So
the 1.8 number includes previous fiscal years where we've spent the spent money in 15, 16, 16, 17.
So it's not over. But we didn't over-budget.
No, so there was budget in the previous years to do that. This fiscal year, we only have $1.4 million, and we're about $1.1 million expended to date of the $1.4 million authorized for this year.
Okay. And on the funding, the USDA loan, do we know if we're going to get,
We can't answer that we know we're going to get it, but USDA has indicated that they will fund Oceano's component of it. And so we don't I can't really state it without the documents in place, but we can myself and Mr. Nunley think it's a low risk that funding wouldn't come through on the low interest loan because it more than qualifies for all the conditions that it's not a very stringent requirement and that portion of the project qualifies.
Okay, well, everything looks really good. I'm really pleased with this. Thank you very much.
Yeah, yes, thank you for this update. And I just have two quick questions, one of which is the future projection of funding, your table. That one there. So the fiscal years, and I think I know the answer, I just want to confirm it, is that the fiscal year projections for expenditures in 1920 and forward, that's when the expected under construction, the 6.3, the 8.2, and the 6.5 remaining there. That's the years those would be expended, but we would fund in the 1920 budget probably, or whenever it comes forward for construction, we would fund the entire amount at that point. We're not going to fund it on an annual basis, correct?
Correct. And we did discuss that option, whether we would fund in two different waves, not necessarily by fiscal year, but do you fund for a large portion of the project? And this was a conversation that I had with Alex Handler at Bartle Wells. Do we want to split that up? And their financial recommendation was based on the trajectory of interest rates, that it would be better served to fund now, and that based on that money would go into the local agency income fund at the county LAIF, so it would be returning some interest. So we would be taking a little bit early, paying interest at the bond rate, but we would be making some interest because we would have that cash on hand, and we would protect against increased interest rates that is kind of the projection or the recommendation of the financial staff. So he recommended against funding in multiple phases, and we would fund all at once for the full project effort coming just prior to construction.
Okay. Yeah. Understanding the presumption of interest rates are about as low as they can get at this point. So second question doesn't necessarily have to do with any of the numbers or anything of that nature, but under startup support and standard operating procedures, I'm anticipating that the redundancy component of the plant does not change any certifications that any of our workers would need to get.
Correct. The plant will remain a grade 3 facility, and so there's no increase in the certifications required to run the plant with the new processes.
Okay. Great. That's all the questions I had. So if there's this is an action item, so I'll open this up to the public, see if there's any member of the public that wants to speak on this item.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and just for reference, in the rate study of 2016, the redundancy project was $19 million. And my question is the increase for operating at that time was projected to be about $500,000 a year. And I'm curious, with the changes in design and the refining of the project throughout design, if that number has been run to see what it's going to cost to operate, and if that's changed. With regard to the permitting, when the project got its coastal development permit, that permit had bundled some unpermitted development that had taken place on the site, and I'm wondering if that cost has been backed out, or should it be, because it's not redundancy related. Those were previous projects that you had to get in compliance. The interest rate for bonds and the interest rate for the USDA, I didn't hear you say what those are currently. Maybe I just missed it, but I'd like to know what those are today and what they're projected to be when you do fund. The question I had about the USDA is, you estimate it's a $5 million loan, or possibly. What is that based on? Is it based on the population of Oceano? Is it based on the flows from Oceano? And then I'm not clear, as you did raise the rates to compensate for the project, and then there's also, we talk about Fund 20 and it being an expansion fund. I don't see the redundancy project as an expansion project, because it doesn't expand your capacity at all. So I'm just wanting to know if Fund 20 is included in any of the funds that you are considering putting towards the project, and if so, a justification for that. And maybe you don't know, but I don't like this project. I'll be honest with you. It's a lot of money in the wrong location. It's time to move the plant and to invest this kind of money in this location puts that money at risk, and I would prefer that you look for a new site and invest those funds in another location away from the ocean, away from sea level rise, away from the crux of Two Creeks. It doesn't make sense to invest this money in that spot. And it's sort of parallel to the Briscoe item that was before the city of Arroyo Grande a couple of weeks ago. $1.8 million has been invested, and Ms. Ray was willing to step away from that and go with the no project alternative. I'd ask that you consider it, talk about it, step away from this project and look to a new location and include all these redundancies in the new location. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. Is there anyone and anyone else want to come forward and speak on this item?
Hi, good evening. I'm David Baldwin. I know a few of you here, so a few familiar faces. I'm here. I'm a local resident of the county for my entire life. I'm a I don't know what that was. Did I get gonged already?
No. Nope,
you're good. I work in labor compliance now, but I'm the immediate past president of the Tri-County's Building and Construction Trades Council. And so I wanted to kind of talk to you just real briefly about a community workforce agreement, or project labor agreements are also known as. These are agreements that are negotiated between the Building Trades Council and the owners of projects like the redundancy project. Both public and private, they're used, but we're talking the public sector here. So they're used by, you know, not only a sanitation district, but school districts, cities, counties, airport districts, water boards, things like that. They have a long history of helping projects to come in on time and on budget. Also, some of the community benefits of these agreements, they have a strong outreach for local hire. It's one of the main parts of these agreements and why they're accepted so well by the public, is that they tend to have calls for local outreach to not only local workers, but for more of a community standpoint. It may be veterans or people who may be underserved in the community, to making sure that they get access, not only that they're local workers, but that they get access to these jobs in their backyards. So these agreements establish basically the terms and conditions of the project for the workers on the project. Some of the things they don't do is they don't preempt the public contracting code. Your project still goes through its normal pre-qualification process or bidding process like you would normally do. They're not discriminatory in any way. They don't require contractors to be union to bid the project or something like that. Everyone's free to bid and work on the contract on the project. They don't limit bidders. You're under prevailing wage, so the wages are already set. They don't increase costs. And as far as the legalities of these agreements, they've been upheld both statewide in the highest court here in the state, as well as the U.S. Supreme Court. And I think it would make good sense. They're best suited towards larger projects. So at a $30 million, or just about price tag there from Mr. Gent there, you're right in that range where you're going to need a number of skilled craft, but also you're going to be coordinating a number of different contractors under different disciplines. And these projects get everybody kind of on the same page. You have a sort of a job site constitution. Everybody's working under the same set of rules. That tends to help your job come in. You know, you capture those efficiencies. It comes in on time and on budget more often. And so I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have of me, and I have given some info to Mr. Gent, so thank you, and I hope that you'll look seriously at doing something like this. It can make good sense for the project. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you for those comments. Is there anyone else that wants to speak on this item? Seeing no one else come forward, we'll go ahead and bring it back to us. Did that Let's see, there was a couple questions from Ms. Tacker. Mr. Gent, if I don't know if you captured any of those or if there's anything that you'd like to respond to.
I think I captured most of them. So on the operating costs, so the operating costs, just to be clear, are not part of the $27.9 million. That's the project costs. However, the operating costs are estimated by the design firm, and those are updated as part of the project costs, and those are provided to Bartle Wells because that's part of our ongoing O&M, and we do see an increase in our ongoing operations and maintenance because we have more components to work on. And so that's part of the rate analysis that Bartle Wells does to make sure that we can fund the project and still meet our O&M needs with the existing equipment and the new equipment. So those costs are not captured in the $27.9 million, but they are captured in our rates and our rate structure. There was a question about the non-permitted work that was previously done at the district, and there is a handful of components. And I think what the question revolved around was, so the redundancy project, getting the coastal development permit for that, cleared up those unpermitted infrastructure that was put in. I think there was, and I can't quote them on because this all predated me, but I have read the permit language, and it says that they refer to it as after the fact, like a quotation type ATF infrastructure. So they're giving after the fact approval of the infrastructure that was previously put in, and they described it as minor and not consequential. And so as such, they are granting after the fact approval. So Coastal has approved all of that construction that was done without Coastal permits already. So that is cleared up. But the question on whether there's any cost recovery for that, I think I pointed out on permitting, we spent about $180,000 on both permitting and environmental document. And so is there a component of that that was in crafting that text and describing the unpermitted infrastructure? There may have been a component, and I would say no, that hasn't been charged back out to some other project, but is captured in that $180,000, $190,000 in permitting and environmental to date. That being said, those are coming out of Fund 19 operating money. It is a legitimate expenditure of that money. Nothing has been spent. It would be just for bookkeeping, would you want to try to capture, parse out some of that effort in crafting that document? That was really for a permit effort for redundancy, and they made us come into compliance with some out-of-compliance infrastructure as part of getting that permit. I think it's fair to include it as redundancy because it was when we presented and asked the question of getting this permit, they said, well, you need to explain this stuff that you did without permits. And the other one I had was interest rates on the bond funding in the USDA. The bond funding is estimated at 5% interest, and with the USDA being at 3.375% at 40 years, the general bond would be at 30-year financing. Cost split for Oceano, how was the USDA component established? That was done by population. USDA did leave it up to myself and Mr. Nunley to propose whether we would use flows or population. We looked at the merits of both and decided to go with population measure, and USDA was very satisfied with using the population pro rata share of the 39,000 members in the district and the roughly 70, don't quote me on the numbers, I don't have them, 7,900 living in Oceano. And then utilization of the expansion fund. This project does qualify for utilization of the Fund 20 expansion fund. I know we had some discussion on the audit finding. I did cover this with Moss Levy, the utilization of the expansion funds for the redundancy project, and redundancy does qualify for expansion. And I did want to ask that question because there's not added capacity technically by the redundancy. This is two systems that meets our design capacity either way we send it through the plant. We send it through one train, we get 5 million average, 10 million peak. We send it through the other train, it's not made to increase capacity, and so that was a question we wanted answered and a determination that we wanted made. So we asked that question, And the expansion fund money can be used because it includes items such as regulatory compliance and the fact that we are being regulated to do this. It applies to all the members that have paid into the expansion fund, and because this is an unknown requirement because it came forward out of the Regional Water Quality Control Board. The justification was that as a regulatory compliant, you can use expansion fund money to fund that portion of the project. And so there is, I don't know the number, it's around $1 to $2 million coming out of the expansion fund money out of the $27.9 million or the $8 million cash component of the project funding would be out of Fund 20. And I think that answers the questions that I noted from the speakers.
Very good. And as that completes the list that I had as well. Is there any other questions that got generated?
So I would like to ask Mr. I would like to ask you if you could reiterate the seriousness, the importance of the redundancy project and how it affects the health, safety, and welfare of all the residents of Grover Beach, Oceano, Arroyo Grande, if it doesn't go into effect, it's required by the Water Board. How important it is we have a backup system now, and if you're going
to... In a lot of the discussions, I've advocated for the project, regardless of the discussion of whether the plant needs to be moved at some point in the future due to climate change and, increased flood risk. Currently, as I've pointed out, we do not have the ability to maintain the equipment. As somebody that's tasked with running the facility, and more specifically the operators and chief plant operator who have their certification on the line, ensuring that the water quality standards as required coming out of that plant meets the requirements as set forth by the Regional Water Quality Control Board, we're putting them in a position where they cannot do the maintenance. They've identified this maintenance as being a need for well over a decade, almost two decades, and this work can't be completed. So we're putting staff in a little bit of a difficult situation if we don't move forward with the redundancy project. Also, that being said, you have to look at weighing we've got an increased flood risk because we're next to the AG Creek Channel, we're in the floodplain, we're next to the Meadow Lagoon, but we're still tasked with meeting water quality as it goes into the ocean, and this is a responsible thing to do to make sure that our effluent remains treated so that our not only our district but our tourism industry has the ability to come and enjoy our beach. We don't have beach shutdowns on the dunes. And I think this project, as the regional board has pointed out, is a project that's necessary to ensure that these type of out-of-compliance discharges do not happen. And so it's very important to see the project move forward. And I think that's absent of the valid discussion that many agencies are challenged with up and down the coast of what are you going to do to retreat from sea level rise? And that's a question we're going to have to answer. And I think that's going to be a high priority for me as the administrator moving out of the redundancy project as this moves into construction. We're going to have to answer some of these questions as required by our coastal development permit. We've got 10-year, 20-year, and 30-year check-ins in that permit, and we'll have to craft answers and execute decisions that will either have us relocate or come up with some other alternative to be able to continue to operate in that case, but it's unlikely to go away. And so we've done the sea level and rise analysis. We've used the most current data to assess that, and the plant is able to function for the next 30 years by all that data, and with the flood mitigating components that are a part of this redundancy component. And that brings me into the last point is this project actually puts in floodproofing to essential components of the existing treatment facility. So if there were a flood event post-redundancy, we are better equipped to maintain and still keep all the equipment running and meet the discharge requirements during any type of localized or even larger flooding event up into the 100-year floodplain. The design accounts for that, and so we would anticipate that we would run fine through substantial flooding efforts.
Great. Well, thank you very much for that explanation.
Can I just a follow-up, please?
Sure, certainly.
You're going to love a question like this. Let's pretend that right now, at our next meeting, we give direction to move the plant. Can you give a timeline and a nearest $10 million to what that would cost us to do?
I was asked this question at an OCSD meeting when I was given a presentation, and it actually caused a lot of controversy because I answered that question, and I said 15 years, $180 million. And, it was pointed out rather quickly that some of that effort had been done in more detail prior to me coming on board. In 2014, Mike Nunley and Associates did a similar analysis answering that question. That was 2014. I've talked to him about the numbers, and he indicated it would be about $125 million without a timeline. My numbers were overstated, but having had subsequent conversations with Mr. Nunley and the monitoring the effort that the city of Morro Bay has undertaken doing a very similar activity, I believe, and I think Mike believes, that we're talking $180 million to site and relocate. Because the issue, like, could we build a plant just like we have now for $120 million? Probably. But we're not going to be permitted to build just a grade 3 facility on a new site. It's going to have to be a grade 5, and it's going to incorporate water recycling, and it's going to have all these components that we don't have in our current facility. So it would just expand out of updated regulations and, even potential. There's more regulation that's proposed right now. There's Senate Bill 332 that I've been tracking, which is it's the Hertzberg legislation, which requires a reduction of ocean outfall water. It's in draft. It's going through committee. It's going to change substantially in going through committee, but which would mandate ocean dischargers to reduce their ocean discharge and recycle that water. And it would be through a mandate that would require both the wastewater agencies and contributing water agencies to fund those projects to move that water out of the ocean outfall. So we've got multiple costs coming up before us of regulatory nature, and at the same time we want to be partners and contribute and work in collaboration with the regional projects such as Central Coast Blue and answering those very specific local questions on being able to operate. And so this 30-year opportunity to pay for redundancy now really allows us to partner, because if we came in at the next meeting and said we're going to relocate, we kind of move out of that discussion for Central Coast Blue and would have to focus on relocation. That being, in fairness, would there be opportunities to, once that endeavor happened, would we have something good with water recycling? Yes, that would likely be incorporated into any project that we would do.
But in terms of being able to do something that would, I guess abandonment of this at this time wouldn't really get us, it wouldn't get us anything positive, because we would be spending many years in design, procurement, and all that would go with re-siting the plant, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
But in the meantime, we wouldn't be in compliance with the Regional Water Quality Control Board, and we would have this massive issue of aging infrastructure and no redundancy.
Correct. Right. And that's been my exact point that you just re-articulated, is that even if we continue the discussion about re-siting, I'm not opposed to that discussion, because those are questions I'm going to have to answer as a condition of the coastal permit that we already have.
Excellent.
So that's a discussion we're going to have to. But I'm still asking that we continue on a course to see redundancy through, so that we can protect the coast and give our operators a plant that can be operated and in compliance.
Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, thank you for that discussion, and thank you for answering the questions and giving an iteration of where we are today, where we need to be in the near future, and then also thank you to Mr. Baldwin for bringing forth information based upon the previous discussion we had and sharing that information with Mr. Gent. So any other comments from here before we
just
receive
the slide presentation, will it be on the website, or can we get you, could you email that to us?
Yeah, I can post it on the, we can get it, I'll have Amy get it on
I'd
the
like
website.
It, yeah.
And perhaps a link on the Facebook page?
Oh, yeah, I can put it on there as well.
Great.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. So, any other discussion on that item?
No, sir.
Very good.
No,
then
very good.
We will consider that received and filed and move on to our next item, which is the plant operations report. Mr. Gent.
Yes, so the plant operations report that's in front of you, as you can see, the numbers continue to be well within compliance. We're meeting all of our treatment. We've had no issues with our disinfection or our limits. We did have a couple call-outs. That's the notable items. We had some low-level alarms go off, and that happens when a well is pumped down too low. We had a sensor that measures the depth of the water in the wet well that was that had failed, and so we've replaced that. We had one on the shelf. It's a specific type. It was an ultrasonic that actually shoots from up above, and we're actually in the process of for a few hundred dollars, we're supplementing that sensor with a type of pressure transducer that actually goes down in the well and measures the head of the water. So we'll have a redundant system on our wet wells, so that we can check and verify and switch between the two systems if we're having problems and still remain in compliance. Because for a little while, the operators had to operate those pumps, what's termed as operating it in hand, which is you're monitoring the level and running it off and on. So we'll now have the ability to switch back and forth if we had any type of faulty sensor. And it's some effort that we had done previously on other systems. So we were able to make quick work of that and get that implemented. And that there's no other noteworthy items on the plant operator's report.
Very good. Thank you for that report. Any questions on the operations report?
Just very good.
Thanks.
Thank you. I will go ahead and open this up to the public and see if there's any members that would like to come forward and speak.
Julie Tacker again. And it was under this item 2 weeks ago. I asked about a video for the backup for the fixed film reactor. I don't know if Mr. Gent has had time to look for that, but I believe that using that sprinkler system or backup plan, you could maintain the fixed film reactor. And it may break before you ever turn a spade on the redundancy. I'm going to go really fast because I know this is a slightly off topic, but Central Coast Blue is that recycling component that needs to be off-site, and phase one and phase two is $61 million. Redundancy is about $30 million. And the 2016 Nunley analysis for relocation of the plant was $110 million. I don't know of a 2014 report. The community to look at for moving a sewer swiftly is Cayucas. They've done it in 3 years because they got out of the coastal zone and they didn't have the political upheaval that Morro Bay is having. So I don't have to like this project, and I don't care how many times you explain it to me. I get why you're proceeding, but I disagree that it's necessary. What is necessary is that you move the sewer.
Thank you for those comments. Is there anyone else wanting to speak on this item? Seeing no one else come forward, we'll go ahead and close that and see if Mr. Gent has any information that he wants to share on the question.
I did follow up on the video, and I came to be informed that the video that was being spoken of was when we ran through that process of. So just a little bit of background. What is being referred to is we have a plan if we were to. The fixed film reactor that I was talking about that's been in continuous operation since 1986, if that were to fail, if our drive unit up there were to fail, we want to still be in compliance. And so the operators, and really at the chief and operator level, they developed a plan that would put water up on the top of the fixed film reactor through basically PVC pipes and hoses that would distribute the water on the fixed film reactor, allow it to trickle down through the trickling filter, and try to maintain some semblance of treatment in that process. And when they laid all that out in just a rehearsal, one of the operators filmed some of it on his cell phone. So it's not a format that I would be, you know, willing to make available, but he was just filming it with his cell phone, and so that is a document that we have, that if we were to have to do that, there's a little bit of reference, but it's not something that I felt was like a district work product necessarily that, you know, could or should be made available to the public.
Very good. Thank you for that. Any other? Great. So that is a receive and file, so we will consider that received and filed. And that moves us on to item number 7, miscellaneous items. Anyone have any miscellaneous items?
I have no miscellaneous items.
Very good. So that takes us into board member communications. Anyone have any communications?
I just have a quick question. We talked a couple meetings ago about potentially going to one meeting a month. Where did that go?
So we are working on that, and I'll let Gil maybe give an update. I mean, I think I just gave the update. We're working on it. So he's.
You should expect to see it on the next agenda.
Excellent. Thank you very much. That's it.
Any other communications to my left?
No, just appreciate your reports. Thank you.
And I do have just one communication. It's actually a question that I should have asked Jeremy before the meeting, so you could actually respond to it if there is information. I understand that the Oceano or the county's project at 13th Street and Highway 1, the drainage project in Oceano, is back out to bid. And I know there's a district component to that. Do the revised plans have any impacts to district facilities that we need to be aware of?
No, there's a concrete sediment basin on the project that does sit over top of a portion of our pipeline. But myself and Michael Jones at the district work closely with Hanara Diaz, the project manager for the project, and they've more than graciously accommodated all of our requests to maintain more than adequate access to anything that we might need in the future if we were to get in there. But, yeah, that project is moving forward. It's out to bid now, and I think that bid closes relatively soon and should be going to construction.
Okay. Great. Thank you for that. Any other questions, comments? Other than that, then we will consider ourselves adjourned until April 17th. Thank you, everyone.
Pass some of those things over here.
I signed my hand.
Oh, you guys are.